My name's Tim, and it's great to have you here with us. Whether this is your first time with us or whether you've met with us many times, you're really welcome. And it's a great time to start meeting with us because we're starting a brand new series today. We've called it A Very Different Kind of Christmas because we get a feeling that this Christmas time is going to be very different. But I wonder what we could learn from the story that we all know for today and for the situation and circumstances we find ourselves in right now. 10 days into this new lockdown, it's all feeling a little bit different from the first one, isn't it? We were just getting ready to sort of move towards, well, something that was better than lockdown, and then we find ourselves needing to go into lockdown again. So it's feeling very different. And this Christmas, I hope and pray that God will do something very different in you as well. It seems a bit strange to start our Christmas series now, but that's part of a very different kind of Christmas. And although Advent doesn't start for another couple of weeks, we thought we'd start now and explore this Christmas story, and particularly the characters within the story, to see the sort of different kind of Christmas that they had when they became part of God's plan and his bigger story for our world. And I think there's something really important for us to learn here as we go through this Advent, this time of preparation for the coming again of Jesus. You know, of course, the word Advent comes in the word adventure. And although I couldn't find a particular link between those two separate words, this word adventure, in the old sense of the word, was to take a risk, to see what would happen in the future. And so I'd love for our Advent to be an adventure, and that you might join us in this, and you might see something fresh during this season. Now, don't start opening your Advent calendars just yet. They don't seem to start until the 1st of December. Advent for me always used to start when Blue Peter made their Advent hanging thing. Do you remember that? Wire coat hangers, flammable tinsel and candles. It was a recipe for disaster, really. But it was all quite a lot of fun as we counted down towards Christmas Day. So what are we going to arrive at by the time Christmas comes? What are we going to reach? How are we going to change or be changed ready for that time? Well, I'd love this season to be a very different kind of Christmas for you as we look again at this story and find something very different for each of us today. So we're going to start in Luke's account of Jesus' life, Luke's Gospel. And if you've got a Bible, then just grab it, turn to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 5 this morning. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Well, that's the beginning of our story. And what a different kind of, dare I say, Christmas Zechariah and Elizabeth were about to head for. Yeah, this story that I've just read is set 400 years after the end of the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, was written 400 years before Luke wrote his gospel, before these things happened. Now, what's been happening in 400 years? Has God been silent? Or has just no one been listening for what God had to say? Or maybe God was absent during that time. Or perhaps nothing happened that was worth recording. But 400 years from that last book of the Old Testament, this new story bursts into life. And I think we can discover some very different things for this very different Christmas. So firstly, I want to say that God is at work when life is disrupted. So Luke opens his story of Jesus with Zechariah encountering the angel Gabriel while he is doing what he had always been doing. He'd been a priest. And that's exactly what he was doing on this occasion, being a priest. But God broke in through the angel Gabriel. Now, perhaps the burning of incense, which is what Zechariah was chosen to do on this particular day, maybe it had just become a ritual. Whether God was there or not, they were going to burn incense because they'd already always done it. Or maybe it had become a bit superstitious, perhaps, just in case God was still out there. And if we stopped doing it, maybe God wouldn't show up. Or maybe it had just become a tradition that had lost its purpose. Nobody knew why they did it anymore. But in those 400 years of silence, some people were waiting faithfully for God to do what he'd promised. I mean, generations had come and gone during those 400 years. But some, perhaps like a little child sat in the back seat of a car going on a journey, and just as you've got out of the driveway, they say, "Are we nearly there yet?" Some were still hoping that they were getting closer to what God had promised throughout the Old Testament. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and the text says he was descended from Aaron. His wife was the daughter of a priest, descended from Aaron. This was the dream couple. But their dream had turned into a nightmare. They were childless, the text says. Barren, too old to have a child. Considered cursed by other people. No one to look after them as they got older. Punished by God for something they'd done wrong is what people would have believed about them. Gossiped about. In verse 25 of Luke 1, it says they felt the disgrace that came with being childless. And on this day, Zechariah, a member of the priestly division of Abijah, we're told, who happened to be on duty. He happened to be chosen by a random lot. And so he went into the where the altar was to burn the incense on that day. It wasn't the Holy of Holies. That was one more step. But in that place, and the worshippers were waiting outside for him. In the midst of God's apparent silence and absence, God speaks and paints a future for Zechariah that was totally different from the future he and Elizabeth had settled for. See, God is at work when life is disrupted. And God disrupted their life in that moment for them to become part of something new. The Jewish historian Josephus, he reckoned that in Jerusalem at that particular time, there may have been 20,000 priests. And Zechariah was of the priestly division that was on duty that time. And Zechariah was the one chosen by lot to be the man on duty. In the right place, at exactly the right time, and God acted and began this story that we celebrate each year. This was perhaps Zechariah's only day that he would have been burning incense in his life, and God chose this moment to act. When life is disrupted by silence and absence, God is still at work. And secondly, God is at work when we are hurting as well. The text says that Elizabeth and Zechariah had done nothing wrong. They had descended from a great family line. They were righteous in God's sight and observed all God's commands and decrees blamelessly, verse 6 says. Yet they were hurting. They were hurting at what hadn't happened. They felt the loss of their unanswered prayers. You know, Christmas is hard for people who are hurting. And maybe this year there'll be more people hurting than ever. Christmas seems to put a massive magnifying glass on our fears and our disappointments and our frustrations and our unrealised dreams and the hopes that we had that haven't happened. And there are stories all around the edge of Christmas for us that don't fit into the demand for us to be happy. So those stories tend to get hidden. There's a loss in damaged relationships. There may be someone missing around the table who was here last year. There's sadness and a longing for what used to be, as well as the uncertainty of how Christmas might look for each of us this year. And the characters in the Christmas story, and Zechariah and Elizabeth in particular, all start their story with those same feelings that we have. And the challenge is to let God speak to the loss so that we can find life. You may feel that God is silent. You might feel right now that God is absent. And this very different kind of Christmas will help us become more aware of our loss, less afraid to acknowledge it, and become more aware of a God who wants to help us navigate our way through it. What if God wants to do something very different in your life as well this year? I wonder what that could be. The text says that Zechariah had been praying. Luke 1 verse 13, now your prayer has been heard. But what was his prayer? I know that the angels said they were going to be given a son, but I wonder if that was the prayer that they'd been praying all this time. See, I have a feeling that wasn't their prayer. Because I don't think their prayer would have been for themselves. I think what Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been praying for all this time, God, it's dark here. Please shine your light brighter. We need to see you. God, it's quiet here. Please break into the silence and speak because we need to hear you. They'd been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to be with his people. I think that was their prayer. I think they may have been praying that for a long time because there's no time scale to the end of our praying. But we can be assured that when we're honest with God about our hurts, our feelings of loss, then I think we will begin to see him at work and we will begin to hear what he has to say. God is at work when we're hurting. And finally, I want to say that God is at work when it feels dark. See, they weren't sure whether God was going to come. It had been 400 years. But Luke says, in the time of Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah. See, at the darkest moment, this is the same Herod who is notorious in Scripture. This is the same Herod who did cruel things to people. At the time of Herod, when it was dark, there was a priest named Zechariah. Now, he was probably as old as 60. Can you believe that? I mean, the Bible says that 60 was considered very old and well on in years. Now, of course, we know that 60 is the new 40, so there's nothing to worry about if you're as old as 60 today. But you see, God isn't finished with anyone. No matter the circumstances, no matter the feelings of loss, no matter how dark it feels, the light is coming. It feels quite dark at the moment, doesn't it? Although the news of a vaccine, of course, gives us a glimmer of light. Culturally, it feels very dark in our nation. Spiritually, you may feel dark at the moment, but God is at work. See, the name Zechariah, it means the Lord remembers, the Lord watches over you. So every time someone called his name, Zechariah, it was a reminder to him, you are not forgotten, the Lord remembers. And the name Elizabeth means, my God is faithful, my God keeps his promises. So every time someone called Elizabeth by her name, it was a reminder that no matter how dark it felt, the light was coming. My God is faithful. He keeps his promises. God's plans continue in secret and in stillness. And in the silence, he's still at work. Now Zechariah doubts the angel and he's struck dumb. He can't even share this amazing good news of what God is about to do. The miracle that's about to happen in 9 months' time. Because God's plans grow in secret. And prayers are answered in God's way at God's time because he is faithful and he never forgets those who pray them. You may feel that you're at a crossing point, unsure of what God is doing or mindful of what he doesn't seem to be doing, caught up in the dark places, maybe fear of suffering, of unanswered prayers, of confused hopes, of dashed dreams. Yet a priest named Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth, both of them were righteous in the sight of God. They stood ready for a very different kind of Christmas. I mean, they were doubtful, but God chose to break the silence and God chose to turn the light on. There was a day when God took action and used them to be the parents of John, who would come to make a way ready for the coming of the Lord. In John's Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle John writes this: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." Elizabeth and Zechariah had continued to serve even though life was disrupted. They had continued to pray even though they were hurting. They had continued to listen even though it was dark. And God did something very different in them and through them. So what might God be planning for you during this time? How might God use you to fulfill his purposes? Could it be that you will become aware of his presence even though he feels absent right now? Could you be the means of bringing his light to shine just that little bit brighter, even if it seems dark? What if this Christmas could be a very different kind this year? Elizabeth and Zechariah, they did what they did best. And God spotted them and used them so that many might begin to see and hear the good news again. And on the eighth day after their son's birth, once Zechariah and Elizabeth had publicly declared that their son's name was going to be John, and Zechariah got his voice back again and his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free, he began to speak and he praised God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 76, Zechariah sang this song: "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is a very hopeful Christmas. Life may be disrupted. You may be hurting. It may be dark. But God is on the way. He's turning on the light. He longs for you to see it and respond to it. May this Advent season be a time to get ready, to celebrate once again God's gift into our world. He is faithful. He hasn't forgotten you. The light is coming. The light of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you're a God who acts. Thank you, you're a God who is with us, who understands, who loves us, who remembers us, who knows us by name. And I pray that during this season you will do a new thing in us and through us. Life is disrupted. There are places now where we are hurting, and parts of our life where it does seem dark. I pray that through the presence of your Spirit, you will transform those places into an experience of life itself as we encounter the good news of Jesus. Shine your light, speak your word. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the transforming power that comes with you. And I pray that you will lift our eyes to the truth of your coming, and that you will do something new in us and through us this season. Thank you that you're at work, God. Help us to see it and to join you in what you're doing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that you'll continue to listen to what God has to say in your circumstances right now, and that you'll continue with this journey with us during this season as we approach Christmas together. If we can help in any way, please, please do get in touch. Inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you, to hear what God's doing, to help you take some next steps, to help you encounter Jesus and discover life in all its fullness. So please do get in touch, and we'll be in touch with you and help you on that journey.